If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. We have a great episode and a special guest for you guys today, Quentin Lake. The former defensive back for UCLA is stopping by the show to talk with me and Josh. It was fun. It was fun having a conversation, catching up with Quentin Lake. I got to cover some of his career while he was there at UCLA. He had just had a senior year just last year. He spent 5 years with UCLA, including the COVID season. But yeah, so we get into some of that. And we get into a number of different things, and I thought it was pretty fun. And I think Quentin had a good time. The guys, Josh and Quentin, they were laughing quite a bit, and I was too. It was all in good fun and a lot of great conversation. I think we learned a lot about Q Lake and what he's trying to do. He has some customized cleats. For those who don't know, he got drafted by the Rams just this past April, and is a part of the team, made the roster, was hurt and nicked up, I think, early on in the season, but was called up and is suiting up for them, if I'm not mistaken. So he is going to have some custom cleats that he's wearing on a game sometime that he should be wearing in early December here. So not too far away. And it's all going to spread awareness on sickle cell. And he'll be talking a little bit about some of that in the episode. But again, I just thought it was some great stuff from Quentin. Again, appreciate having him on. And some of the conversation him and Woodsy have was pretty insightful as someone who's just a reporter for the team. But obviously those two guys in the locker room together, spent a couple of years together. Both of them played high school in Southern California. Quentin Lake played at Modern Day. And then you had Josh Woods, who was playing at Upland around the same time or not too far apart. And then also some breaking news that kind of came along right after I finished that interview with Quentin Lake. The Rose Bowl more or less had a deadline. They had a hit they were kind of given by the College Football Playoff along the lines of this week that they needed to try and come up with a decision on what they were going to do, if they want to be a part of the CFP going forward or not. As one of the six bowl games that are going to be competing, or one of the six bowl games that are going to be in rotation for teams when they compete in that semifinals and get into that national championship picture. So with the 12-team playoff, you'll have teams that I guess it would start at quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken, but then you have your semifinals, and that's where you'll have the rotation of the six different bowls: the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, and the Rose Bowl. The first five that I mentioned, the Cotton Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Orange Bowl, Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl, had all kind of agreed and were on board with the expanded playoffs. But now with the Rose Bowl jumping aboard, what was kind of the last hurdle, which is kind of what was being reported, that is now squared away. And we're going to have an expanded playoffs from four teams to 12 teams. We are going to have a four-team format this year and next year in 2023. But in 2024, we're going to get our first 12-team playoff, and that would have been huge, especially this year for UCLA, who was kind of in that top 12, top 10 area at some point in the season. And I'm going to have a breakdown of everything, laying it all out for you guys over at ocregister.com. When it comes to Selection Sunday, they're going to announce what teams are going to what bowl. We're going to find out what bowl UCLA is going to be playing in. We know they won't be playing in the Rose Bowl. They play during the season in the Rose Bowl. They won't be in the Rose Bowl. It doesn't seem like, but it's very unclear on where they're going to be. Again, a lot of it depends on where USC goes. If they do make it to the college football playoff, if they do beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, then they move into that spot, and then that leads to some shuffling around with some of the other teams in the Rose Bowl, more or less can have their pick at who they want in the college football, who they want in the Rose Bowl, excuse me, because of the college football playoff rankings and the cluster of teams being there with a couple Pac-12 teams all there listed. So it could be any, the Rose Bowl game itself could feature anyone from Washington, Oregon, et cetera, et cetera. There's a few different teams, even on the Big Ten side. I think there's some talk of Ohio State's been there a few times in a row that they're almost willing to pass on playing in the Rose Bowl to take on a new challenge, more or less. And that opens the door for a team like Penn State to potentially be back in the Rose Bowl here for the upcoming Rose Bowl in January. So a lot of interesting stuff going on. The college football playoff is expanding in 2024. That's something to keep an eye out going forward. This Sunday, they're going to talk about and they're going to announce what the bowl games are, what the final college football playoff rankings are. I don't know if we'll have an immediate episode, but I'll be tweeting about it. I'll have updates on my Twitter at JHW Reporter. As things are happening, I'll be tweeting it out. I'm looking forward to a crazy day. I always look forward to a few days a year, and this is definitely one of them, where the teams are going to be playing their bowl games, who's going to be where, who's playing what, and much, much more. I'll also have a link in the bio talking more about the college football playoff expansion, and you can read the article I wrote that covers a lot of ground on that kind of stuff. So some good stuff there. And again, I don't want to hold you up too much longer. I know I promised you a Quentin Lake interview, so let's jump right into that. Quentin, how you doing, man? Can you hear me?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome on in. Appreciate you taking some time for us. Just want to, by the way, we're here with your former teammate here, Josh Woods. Josh, do you want to say hi, Josh?
What's up, Q? How you doing?
What's up, brother? I'm doing good, man. Can't complain.
Just real quick, the cleats was something that caught my eye, and I've heard some NFL guys kind of talking or having their cleats and stuff before. But when I saw you were coming out with cleats, I was kind of curious to know more about it.
Yeah, so yeah, I did my cleats on the Sickle Cell Foundation. So Sickle Cell Disease. Sickle Cell is, so I don't have the disease. I want to make that prevalent. I don't have the disease. Trait. So the trait, it doesn't really affect anything. It's almost like, you could say it's almost like asthma in the sense, not even like that. It's really just something that you just have to stay hydrated and just be in shape. That's it. You know, just there are some things that, you know, if you play in altitude, you get a little bit more tired. So the reason why I wanted to do that, it's close to me and my family because I have the trait, my dad has the trait. So it's pretty close to me and my family. It's pretty personal, but also it's not really well known. That's the biggest thing too. It's not a really well-known disease and it affects more so of minority populations more than others. So for example, like the Black community affects them a little bit more. It's more prevalent in there. So I just wanted to kind of raise awareness of something that was pretty personal to me. And then also raise awareness just because it's not very prominent or prevalent and not a lot of people know about it in general. So I thought it was the opportunity being on the stage just to promote awareness around a cause that around a foundation or disease that not a lot of people know about.
I think it was your freshman summer. That was like one of the first things of like, oh, this is who Quentin Lake is. Like I hadn't met you before, but I remember that incident you had when I think we were running game sims your first summer. Like, is this guy going to be okay?
Yeah, so I was off. So fire alarm went off the night before. Didn't eat a lot the night before. Oh. Didn't have a lot of. So it was like back-to-back things that kind of sparked that. It wasn't like So that's why I was like, and I knew it was going to be tough. And then when that happened, I kind of told him like, yeah, like these are the things that kind of led up to that incident. You know, obviously it didn't have a lot of sleep, wasn't really hydrated, didn't have a lot to eat, like wasn't fueled up for that. And then after I, you know, realized, you know, I really got to be in shape, really got to hydrate. You know, I didn't have a problem since then. So that was kind of my first real awakening to like, okay, you know, these are the steps I have to take just so, you know, that I'll be okay. Obviously, I'm not really worried about it anymore because I'm in shape and I, you know, take care of my body now. But when I was young, I just didn't know. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, what is going on? Especially when it happened freshman year, I'm like, what the fuck? You know, what's happening? But, you know, I kind of learned, did a little bit more research on my own and stuff like that. So, and, you know, I've ended up being okay since the 5 years since that happened. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was a little scary. It was, but, you know, realizing it wasn't like anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I say it was scary for us that day.
What happened, so a little bit more context on that. So like Josh said, we were running game sims, which is like one of our conditioning things in the wintertime with Coach Alosi. And I could tell, so pretty much what happened in terms of like how it felt for me, it felt like, and I, you know, the guys can kind of, or Josh can kind of attest to it, it was like, I felt like I was running in slow motion, but I was trying really hard. That's kind of what it felt. That almost kind of what it looked like. That's what some of the guys told me. So,
yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, I just couldn't, like, body kind of shut down after that. But yeah, never had anything close to that, you know, from there on out. So I've been pretty good about it.
Obviously, you're playing at a pretty high level now. You're with the Rams. Congratulations on that. I don't think I've had a chance to talk to you since that, but covered you quite a bit during your UCLA days, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'm just kind of curious, what is the NFL life like for you? What has the journey been like for you? And also, what is maybe one or two of the biggest things you've learned so far, whether it's on or off the field, since being in the NFL?
So I'll first start with, how is it being in the NFL? Being in the NFL is cool. A lot of people think it's a crazy talent difference, but that's only like a very small percentage of people. And that's kind of like what I would say, in the sense that like, if you played college ball at like a high level and you were making plays on the college stage, you can do the same thing on the NFL level. Like, obviously people say like, oh, everybody's big, strong, and fast. Well, in general, everybody was kind of big, strong, and fast in college too. Like, the thing that happens when you get to the pros is just like, you don't have as many miscues. That's the biggest thing. Like, you know, you're having, you know, professionals that study the game. This is all they do. So there's not going to be a lot of, you know, mental errors and stuff like that. And in terms of like me being a defensive player, that ball is going to be on the money nine times out of 10, you know? So like, I'm not like, like for a lot of the dudes that play in college, you, to be honest, if you're put in the right situation, you can easily play in the NFL. That's what I want to make clear, because I don't want to make it seem like, oh my God, the NFL is like, and obviously there's like a lot of political stuff that goes on behind it too, kind of more so. But in terms of the speed of the game, obviously it's a little bit different. Like, it does move fast, but it only moves fast if you don't know what you're doing. That's what I'll say. If you know what you're doing, you know where you need to be at, you know, you'll be all right. And then being on the Rams, in terms of like, the Rams culture is good. It's a little different this year, because we're having a down year, especially coming off like a Super Bowl. So that's kind of like a little bit of adjustment, just because, you know, all the rookies and all the guys that got drafted, even, you know, everybody on the team, we were expecting a high year just because we had that Super Bowl, everybody's morale was up. We were like, yeah, let's go back to back. And then, you know, obviously we're not really having the success we want. But it was kind of eye opening in the sense that, you know, coming into the league, just dealing with like adversity here and there, like, it was kind of like, okay, this is probably, you know, the worst it's going to get, hopefully, you know. This is, you know, at least I didn't come in like, dang, you know, it's going to be like this every year. Not, you know, I came into a situation where, you know, we were hopeful to go to the Super Bowl, whatever, you know, that, you know, probably won't happen. But just kind of seeing it from like, okay, this, hopefully this, it doesn't get worse than this, because this is kind of, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it's been an amazing experience. The Rams culture and everybody in the building is awesome, especially with us having a lot of veterans, guys like Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donald, you know, you name it. It's cool. Just learning the game off them and seeing how seriously they take it. So all in all, it's been great. I have no complaints. You know, we still got a really good team. Just sometimes the ball doesn't roll our way in the game. So, but nah, I mean, it's been good. It's been good.
Go ahead, Josh. Do you have anything?
What I would say, like, what are the biggest things that you learn, like, coming in from a program like UCLA, learning things from, like, Coach Mora and Coach Kelly? What are the biggest things that have, like, helped you in your first year as a pro?
The biggest thing that helped me would just be it's not necessarily something I listened from Coach Mora, but it's something I did when I was at UCLA is listen to understand, not listen to respond. Sometimes you're like, you're quick to, like, you may have something that you did in college or may, like, not agree necessarily with what they're coaching, or there's just might, you might have a difference of opinion. I don't want to say like, oh, I disagree with, you know, what the coaches are coaching me. No, obviously not, but you might have a difference in opinion, but just like listen to understand, whether that's a player talking to you, a coach, staff member, like, you know, just always being open to new information just because you're in a new environment and you don't know, like, there are just certain things that are ran differently and you have to kind of adjust and adapt to that. And then another thing is, you know, really take it seriously. That's another thing. Like, you're guaranteed 4 to 5 years in college, and then coming to the NFL, you see guys in and out like that. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, you know, taking it seriously, because it's not an interview for just the Rams. It's an interview for all 32 teams, whether you're like, even though you're playing for the Rams and you want to do the best and you want to make it to that second contract, your film is seen by everybody no matter what. So say down the line, whatever situation might happen where you end up on another team or whatever, like, that film that you put on for the Rams or for whatever team, people can take that and use that and say, you know what, he just put great things on tape. You know, we want this guy. So just making sure you're locking in each and every day and you're always putting good film, because your film is your resume, especially when it comes to the NFL.
I think I spotted you out on the sideline for maybe the Utah game, I think it was. I think you were out there for the Utah game. What was it like being back on the sidelines and at the Rose Bowl, and just with the success the team has had this year? It's been a pretty crazy journey for Kelly and Dorian and the guys. So your thoughts on them.
Yeah, they could have had it all, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what's like I'm super happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Josh's tweets and Kayla's tweets all the time talking about, like, just commenting on the game. I think it's funny. but I mean, it's like, I'm so happy for these guys to be able to, you know, have a successful season. Obviously there were pivotal games that I think they could have won,
mm-hmm.
for example, Arizona. And then if they ended up pulling off FC, you know, the season would have looked a lot different, you know, probably maybe slipped into the college football playoff. You know, who knows? But being at the Utah game was cool. Saw some other alumni that were there, which was dope. And then obviously seeing some of the guys that I played with last year was super cool. And then, you know, it just kind of was like humbling in the sense that it's like, you know, guys like Josh and guys, you know, the veterans, they kind of built the culture. And then, you know, guys like me, we kind of kept it. And then seeing it transition into, you know, what it is now, it's like, it's cool seeing, like, you know, you kind of, not in a selfish way, but you say, you know, we kind of built this. That's kind of the thing. Now that, you know, it took a little bit longer for UCLA to get to that point, but it's kind of cool saying, you know, all this blood, sweat, and tears, and, you know, all the culture changes, whether, you know, you were there for 1 year, 2 years, three, four, whatever, you know, you put into this and you're seeing it kind of be displayed out on the field. So it was cool. It was awesome.
And for me, I'm looking at your Twitter right now, and I remember when you first posted this, when you declared that you were going to enter the NFL draft, and you had that, I think it was from a yearbook, where you said, I'm going to play at UCLA, and I'm going to be in the NFL. I mean, you're living out these dreams that you put down on paper, like, at a very young age. Was that something that came to your mind as you were coming into or making that decision to declare? And I know your father played at UCLA, so it's not like you just stumbled into UCLA. Like, UCLA is kind of in your blood in a way, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think manifestation is a real thing, whether you believe in it or not. people say like, oh, you know, whatever happens, happens, or, you know, whatever they want to say. But if you write, like, if you're putting active effort into something you write down or something you think about, more often than not, it's going to happen somewhere or another, you know. Whether that might be, you know, it could have been a situation where I played ball and I ended up playing for an LA team way down the line. It just ended up happening to happen right now, you know, like, but I think manifestation is really important, or just having a goal and, you know, obviously, you know, working towards it, whatever it may be. But yeah, that was crazy. If that really like that, it was crazy because that really affirmed and kind of reassured my faith in God, to be honest. Cause you know, you pray, like there are some things you pray about every single day, and it might not happen now. It might not happen a year later. It might happen 5 years down the road. You know, this is something I've been talking about, you know, with me and the man above for a long time, and it ended up seeing that kind of unfold was, you know, that's something that just really reassured my faith in God. But more so than that, you know, I was just happy to even be a part of the process. And it's crazy because you say like UCLA was in my blood, but I was really like, I had UCLA and USC's number right next to each other at the time. I remember that. I was like, I don't know where I want to go. And I just felt like UCLA was going to be the best situation for me because things were a little bit shaky at SC. And I just felt like I had a better chance to play early at UCLA just because I knew I wanted to get to the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, it ended up working out. But, yeah, that whole recruiting process was real, real different. like, to be honest, because when I was playing in high school, I didn't think I was going to play college ball. Like, yeah. Really?
Stop it.
Yeah, I had about going to the – no, I'm saying, like, real early because I had torn my ACL my freshman year, and I was like, that dream's done. And obviously, that when I started picking up offers and stuff like that, because I was on JV my sophomore year. Like, I wasn't one of those kids that played freshman varsity, like, tore my ACL and went to JV. So, like, them first 2 years, like, I was like – like, you have this fantasy as a kid, like, yeah, I want to go to the NFL. But when you have hardships like that, that dream kind of dwindles back a little bit. So that it was like a – and then obviously, like, I did well my junior and senior year. And then I was like, oh, okay, I still got a chance. But, no, it was cool. I mean, yeah, everything ended up working out. So
I mean, a lot of it's testament to, like, who you are. And, like, I feel like a proud, like, big bro of you because I watch you as a high school recruit, a little shy kid, to like, you know,
a slowly shy like, kid.
Nah, because when I was doing like when I would visit UCLA, because my dad was coaching, I would come up there and Josh would be there, like, so, and it was like, not that we really didn't talk and stuff like that before, but it was like you just see a familiar face, and then when you get to UCLA, like, mind you, I hadn't committed yet or stuff like that, like, you just see a familiar face, and then you get there, and it's like, oh, okay, like, I seen this kid, like. Okay, let me just bring him along, you know, along my journey and stuff like that. So, and that's how, but to be honest though, that's how Josh was with a lot of players. Like, you had this guy, like some veterans, you don't really, and I'm not going to say Josh wasn't hard on people either, but like some veterans, you like, man, I don't even want to approach this dude. Like,
for real.
Oh, like, I don't even want to approach this dude. I don't want to hear him. Like, he's not going to give me nothing positive. Like, I just don't even want to deal with that shit, to be honest. But Josh was a dude, it was like, yeah, it was like you can approach him off the field and ask some questions, but at the same time, if you weren't doing something right, he's gonna tell you. And that's how it should be though. Like, you want players to demand the best out of you, but you also want to have some guy you can look up to and be approachable. Like, you don't want to be that veteran that like is on that, like, let's say, like, rah-rah, and you can't approach him just because like you feel like, oh, he's just gonna always be on my ass no matter what question I ask, you know. But not like Josh, and I can name countless guys a part of your class and even guys before. Like, y'all did a great job in terms of being able to be approachable but also demanding the best out of us, you know.
So, man, I mean, and I wish, like, a part of I feel like UCLA's bad years and downfalls have been crucial injuries. And yes. I think, like, my year not having you is one of the things I always be like, dang, if we had Quentin the whole season, like our defense would have been at a different level. Like there's closer games where I know like Q's back there, you know, making calls, seeing things, making plays, that would have helped us a lot. And it just sucks that it just seems like UCLA, like in the past decade, really, of all the, you know, from the time I got there till probably the time I left, I'd say after that, I feel like even this year, not that this is probably one of the healthiest years I've seen UCLA.
Super healthy.
Compared to
yes,
my freshman year, you got to think of the players. We lost three NFL players in the first 3 weeks of the season. We lost Fabian Moreau, who's playing for the Giants now. We lost Eddie Vanderdoes, who was drafted to the Raiders. And we lost Miles Jack 3 games into the year. It's like, how are you supposed to win? You know what I'm saying? And then it's like the following year, we lose Colton Miller. And the following week, we lose Josh Rosen. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like things like that where it's like, I don't know what was going on at UCLA, but it's like now I feel like we finally kind of like made it over that hump. Yeah. And now it's like, all right, now we're, you know, everybody was like, want us to go to the playoffs. But it's like before, it's like, will UCLA even be good this year? So we went from like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like the haters of y'all can't even have a winning season to like now, like, oh, y'all should have made the Pac-12 championship. Y'all should have made the playoffs. Like
there was like no in between, right? Like that was the thing. Like they, you know, they were bowl eligible. Well, you were a part of that, right? Last year, the Holiday Bowl, things didn't work out for that. And it's like people forget, like that was the first, like since I started covering UCLA, that was the first time they were even bowl eligible. They don't get to play in that game, but it's like, you know, they get right in that playoff picture and people are like, oh, we're a playoff team. And it's like, let's slow down a little bit. Like, let's let this thing kind of play out a little bit. But they exceeded whatever expectation I had. I'm just kind of
going. I wanted to say something to Josh's point, though. I was thinking about it and like, it's crazy because it wasn't like injuries were like, obviously injuries are inevitable no matter what. Like, I don't care how long you play this game. It's just going to happen. But, like, the injuries that we were having were, like, season-ending, you know? Yeah. Like, it was not like, oh, team's banged up, whatever.
Mm-hmm. No.
A little tweak, hamstring, whatever. Or like, these are, like, oh, surgery type, you know? Like, and it's just, like, when you get that, more so is, like, yeah, it's a season-ending injury where you have, like, okay, this player, we don't have this player. But then it's, like, it's demoralizing for the team, too. Mm-hmm. Because, bro, like, damn, like, what are we going to do now? Like, we don't have the star player. Damn, like, can we rely on the backup? You know, it's like you have all these thoughts that go in your head. And that's kind of like, and I bring that up because it's like kind of like what's happening, you know, within the Rams. Like, we had key guys go down, and then you're like, well, shit, like, you know, how is the offense or defense going to, you know, respond? Like, and then it's kind of like, you know, you don't want guys to give up, but, you know, in the back of your mind, you got this little man talking. It's like, shit, bro, like, what's gonna happen? Like, we don't have one of our star players. He's, you know, he's our go-to guy when we need to make plays. It just doesn't happen like that. So it was a good point that you mentioned injuries, because injuries is like, whether or not, like, obviously there's the physical side, but there's also the mental side to it too. So
yeah, no doubt about it. Real quick, I'm curious, and I asked Josh about this a little while back, obviously throughout the season, as we've seen a guy who you guys are both familiar with Dorian Thompson Robinson. When I saw him at the beginning of this year, he looked bigger. He seemed more mature than, I mean, he kind of already was, from, you know, just from his junior to his senior year, but just your thoughts on his development, like what you've seen from him over the year and just kind of where he's been at this year. Like, he's limited his turnovers, just the different things that he's doing, but just what stands out to you? Do you have a good Dorian story? Maybe it's from the younger days or last season or anything like that.
Do I have Dorian story?
You were going up against him every day, right?
I mean, she was my roommate for a year, almost 2 years. In 2019, and honestly, I can say a little bit of 2020. We were roommates, but nah, his development, I mean, obviously you've seen it, like breaking records, you know, doing all the things like that. But I feel like he just has that like pro mindset now. And he kind of embraced the role of being that like team leader, you know, the guy that, you know, the team can rely on to make a play, especially being a quarterback. And I'm not even going to say like his younger days were bad. Just because, like, being like starting that young, and then you know, because he got recruited, he got recruited by Mora too. And then you have a, you know, you have a coaching change. You gotta, you know, low key like learn a new offense. And there's just a lot of things. It's a lot of pressure, especially being, you know, a guy that, you know, has won national championships for coming from Bishop Gorman. Like, it's a lot of pressure. So I kind of understand that, you know, why he had some ebbs and flows early in his career, but you can kind of see the work, you know, the hard work and all the stuff that he's put in over the last, I would say even the last 2 years. So his growth at UCLA, I think, has been great. And, you know, I'm, you know, rooting for him for the best, you know, in terms of, because I know he's gonna, you know, get drafted to the NFL. So in terms of professional career too, you know, hopefully everything goes right in terms of that, because when it comes to quarterbacks, especially when it comes to the draft, like that's really, really political. I've seen it happen over and over again. Like imagine this, Deshaun Watson got picked after Mitch Trubisky. And then stuff like that. Like whether or not you want to put, you know, whatever you want to, my message is I just hope everything goes well for him. But in terms of his development, it's been great.
Like I was saying a little bit earlier though, like seeing you grow and like seeing you come out of your shell, like year by year, it's like shoes start, you know, start being more and more. I think now I'm seeing you on your like your little fashion tip. Is that something you know, like how did you get more into that and like what has your inspiration been? Is that like something you want to get into more outside of football and off season, stuff like that?
Yeah, so my bro, I used whew. Now, James, you could have seen what I was wearing. My freshman, oh my God. It was bad. But no, yeah, fashion for me, I started really, really like wearing clothes and stuff like that. I would say like this year, really, because I don't even think I was doing that last year. Like really like putting outfits together and stuff like that. Is it something I want to get into? Yeah, just because, you know, kind of that look good, feel good, you know, being able to, you know, wear cool clothes and stuff like that. But who put me on? I want to say who put me on was really my girl, my girlfriend. She put me on, for sure. So if like I can't look like it. Say we're going out or something, like I can't look like a bum. I got to be on par. You know, that's how it is. So she's definitely helped
Facts.
in terms of like, you know, hey, these are some brands you can look at, or hey, like, you know, I got a fit for you. She's the one that styles me. So I mean, it's just been able to like I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh yeah, I don't do it. I really don't. Like obviously now, like I'm learning, like now, okay, yeah, I can put this together, this, and this. Like, yeah, I put some outfits on my own, but really she'd be doing it. She'd be doing it for me. So yeah, it's been cool. And then fashion, like even being able to like potentially do stuff with different brands in the future, go to like fashion and so shows and stuff like that is, you know, it's awesome. Because fashion, especially in the NFL, really at any professional level, it's big now, you know? So now, nah, yeah, she's the one that kind of, obviously now I'm a little bit more into it, but she's kind of the one that put me on.
That's dope.
Yes.
So I ask everybody this. We've talked to Lo Kenny, we've talked to Theo
Whoa.
Howard. I always gotta I talk to Josh all the time on these podcasts. So when I get a chance to talk to his teammates, I always ask for a good Josh Woods story, or I need to know something about Josh that I didn't know before we did this episode. So do you have a good Josh Woods story or a favorite memory with Josh or anything like that?
See, Lo Kenny would have better stories than me.
Well, Kenny had a lot of stories.
Yeah. See,
If anything, just tell me about what Josh was like on the field, what kind of player he was, you know, what he meant to the defense, how he was on defense.
nah, Josh was so when I first came in, Josh was like he's gonna go out there and make plays. And he was big like that, bro. I was like, God, big. But no, Josh, I would say one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, was like I felt like you were underrated at UCLA, to be honest, a little bit. Just like I don't feel like people really understood like how much talent you had. And especially having a position change too. That was, and I don't know how that was for you going from inside backer to, you know, almost like OLB.
Frustrating.
Yeah, same, because you know, there might be a situation where like if you're going from inside backer, you're able to make more plays, you're able to show skill sets that you're better at, and then going from outside linebackers, it's just like I can understand that, I can see that. And that's why I say like people really don't understand, because I've seen Josh, the inside backer, running through holes, hitting, being able to cover. Like, Josh was super athletic, super intelligent. That's another thing, too. I think, you know, when you were there, you're probably the most intelligent linebacker we had. To be honest, you know, obviously we had guys like Kenny Young and Chris Barnes and all that stuff. But, like, when I was there, I was like, yeah, Josh is going to go out there. He's going to be in the right place. He's going to make a play when it needs to. He's going to be solid on all levels, whether that's, you know, in the run game or even in the pass game. So, and like I said, when I say underrated, I just feel like when you had that position change, people weren't able to see really what you could do, you know, to the fullest. Because I seen, like I said, I seen what you could do at inside backer. I was like, this boy can make plays. And it was crazy about that, too. Early on, it's funny about that. My dad, I remember this clearly. I guess this can be my job for a story. We were talking about, we were just talking about UCLA in general, whether that, I think it was my sophomore year, might have been my sophomore year or even my freshman year. And we were talking, and we're like, yeah, like that boy, obviously you had a different number. That boy 19 or 2, that boy balling. Like that boy is doing his thing. So I always knew you could ball out, and you did, you know, when you were out there. Obviously you had some stuff like that, but like I was like, boy, if he keeps it up, the sky's the limit, bro. The sky is the limit, because you had everything on every level. You were big enough to really pummel running backs in the run game. You were athletic enough to cover tight ends, even slot receivers in the pass game. Like, yeah, man. So, and that's just full, like, that's just on the field stuff. Let's just talk about that off the field, like how he is as a person. Josh is goofy. He's going to make somebody laugh. Nah, real spiel. Every time, but he gonna make somebody laugh. It don't matter who, he gonna make somebody laugh in the locker room. Like, super, like, locker room guy. Like I said, always approachable. And it's crazy because, you know, I'm sitting here saying this about Josh. Me and Josh, we don't even talk on a regular basis, but I have so much to say about him, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's I could tell you how many guys I don't talk to on a regular basis, but if we were in the same position talking to one another, like, it would just be like that. Like, we would
click, laughing, like, joking around.
Laughing, joking around. So it's like, although you don't necessarily talk to guys every day, like, and I know I'm getting a little bit sidetracked, but like,
no, you're okay.
There's a ton of guys on UCLA where, like, you might not talk to every day, but they're still going to be your brothers, still going to be your friends, because, you know, you had that brotherhood, you had that connection at UCLA. And that, like I said, and to tie that in, that's something that Josh allowed us to do, even when he left, and just, you know, kind of, because, like, I'm not going to say there was, but it was almost like when I first got there, it was like upperclassmen, lowerclassmen, a little bit, you know, that kind of changed over the course. You know, we started meshing a little bit. Like, Josh would hang out with, you know, some of us. It'd be like Martin, me, Lokenny, E. Gates, you know, Austin Burton, like all those guys, KP, even, you know, like, we would just all start meshing, even though we weren't, like, necessarily in the same class. And yeah, like, you know, a true leader, a guy that was, you know, vocal when need be. I'm not going to say you're a hoorah guy, but, like, when you talk, people listen, you know, and that's important, you know, in terms of leadership, is, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, say everything every time, but when you say something, it did matter. But yeah, no, I got it. I can keep going if you want me to, but not.
Hey, shut up. You don't got it. You don't. Shed a tear.
No. Real quick though, you said something interesting about, like, the, you know, it was like the underclassmen and the upperclassmen and the lowerclassmen, and just how there was that mesh. I think was maybe a lot of that when you have that coaching change, and when you had a lot of guys leave when there was that coaching change.
Yeah.
You guys were like one of the youngest rosters in the country. So yeah. It was kind of almost like a lot of the where your status, your class was, went out the window. Y'all were just trying to, like, come together and build something at that point, right? Because it didn't matter, because you had true freshmen, or you had maybe not true freshmen, but you had freshmen and younger guys that had to play, because of the depth that you guys had to work with at the time, because of the departures that you had, right?
Yeah, no, most definitely. And that's kind of what, like, you either crumble or you come together, you know, when that happens. And it's funny because we came together. I was going to say, remember the meeting we had Were you there after San Diego State?
Yep. I was part of it. We put that together.
So, like, that was the story I was going to say, but I didn't, yeah. So, like, we came together. I'm not going to say we came together for the best reason. Like, we came together because we were losing, but, like, mm-hmm. we ended up coming together some way, somehow. Like, and to be honest, I was sitting, like, looking back at that meeting now, like, it was funny, bro. It really was. Like, and I'm not saying, like, the meeting was productive because, like, what needed to be said was said. Like, you know, we got to turn it around, whatever. But, like, I'm just thinking about, like, what some people had to say in the meeting.
Yeah. Like, things that didn't need to be said were said. It was just like, we like, just, bro, because like, intentionally.
Cole Kinder gets up and starts. I was just like, that shit, like, looking back at it now, I'm laughing. It's like, yo, like. We had a dead serious meeting. He's talking about some. So, but not like memories like that. Like, I'm gonna remember that forever, just because it was like I said, what needed to be said was said. But also, like, you have, like, we just came together. Like, that's what I'm talking about. We just came together in a way that was like, okay, like, we just
background on the story. We had just lost to San Diego State, and after every game. We have pool regen on Sundays, right? Mm-hmm. So like, as like the older guys, we were like, nah, we need to address some stuff. Like, we finna have this meeting. So mm-hmm. like, we like, nah, like, we not going to that. Tell the coaches, like, don't, like, we're not going, you know, like, we're going to go have a meeting right now.
A players only meeting.
Players only meeting. Mm-hmm. And the only coach that showed up later was Foss. And Foss wanted to hear what we were saying and also tell us where we're wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he was like the
voice of reason.
Also, like, a big homie. Like, yeah, like, we, that's one of the coaches that we all knew and trusted and relied on as older guys. You know what I'm saying? And it started out with, like, the older guys saying, you know, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
It just seemed like we had a lot of people that were just happy to be there. Guys weren't giving their all. Like, there's a lot of distractions. And we, like, mm-hmm. bro, we losing games, like, especially that year. There's no reason that we should have beat Cincinnati and we should have beat San Diego. It's like games we were losing that we should have won, right? So mm-hmm. like, we talking about all the things and like somehow like it just got open. We just got kind of opened the floor. Like, if anybody needed to get anything off their right. chest, we gonna when let I you
tell
do it. You,
when I tell you it went like it went left, that went left. Like, we got guys sitting up talking about like real. Obviously, like real personal stuff.
Mind yeah, you, I came with the, you know, like me. I had like I've said before, I had been there the longest, like longer than everybody. So I done seen people come and go, and I just seen like people weren't, you know, taking
right,
you know, like pride in UCLA, and then it opened, and then it's like I was trying to be respectful and let other people talk, but then like some other people, it just started like. Like, if one person says something that somebody didn't agree with, other people were like yelling, like he's saying, like, Cole, I'm like, let Cole talk. Next thing I know, people are just cussing Cole out.
Well, you had to be there. You had to be there. It was the most, it got so dysfunctional.
I mean, but what do you expect from a players only meeting? I would imagine a lot of them like that, but that's classic. That's funny. That is funny.
Nah, man, it was like, I'm laughing because it was like, There were certain people that said some stuff or stuff.
You remember the Titans, but we ended up getting blown up by Oklahoma the next week.
Oh no. I was gonna ask. I was like, what happened the next week? But okay. Now, was this the season was this the same season as that Washington State game where you guys went however many overtimes?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that was the first win of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you remember about that game, Q?
I didn't play.
Oh, you didn't like, play that, in that game? Did you travel?
I got hurt.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that was wild.
Looking back at it, though, I probably could have played.
I know. But but I'm glad that you didn't, because
I really could have played.
That would have wasted a year for you, and I know you weren't
100%. Oh, you were like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And he was on the cusp of the redshirt rule. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
If he tries to play and he's not able to, you know, be himself, mm-hmm. that would waste the whole year of eligibility. And that's one of the struggles of college, of like putting bad tape out there and then like just trying mm-hmm. to
be patient.
Yeah, but like given you like you like it's a hard line between it's kind of being hard. Selfish and being a team player. Cause like you said, like for me, it was frustrating. I felt like I was one of the best inside backers in the conference. And for them to move me to outside linebacker, I didn't do that for me. I did that for the coaches. Yeah. And for Q, I know that they were pressuring him to play, but it was best that he did it so he could have that full year, you know.
And it's crazy, why come back and it's COVID, you know. Because my plan was like, I was like, oh, I'm going to do – to be honest, I really was thinking about leaving after the COVID year. Like, I was like, oh, I'm gone. Like, just because I was like, I'm healthy, short season, like – I mean, but I was like, I just had so many people in my ear, like, oh, like, and the biggest thing was, like, people had said, like, oh, you might not get drafted. I was like, oh, I want to be like, oh, you'll be this, this, and this, you know. If I hear, like, oh, we don't know, like, and that's kind of really one of the reasons why I came back. And obviously, I had some boxes to check, and it helped that we were winning, too, but, like, yeah, I was really, like, thinking about leaving after that year, but like being, I had asked myself this. I was like, if I did play in 2019, what would be different? Obviously we won't know. Like I would have had to leave in what, three? Yeah. Cause I would have to have left after the COVID year, you know. Things might, you know, different, whether that's better or worse, but I was like, in that moment, I was like, I don't want to be out there. One, I probably won't be able to tackle like I can. Obviously, I can't catch the ball like that. So for me, it was like, it's not worth it. Like, yeah, the junior year of college is like so critical, but I was like, you know, just give me another year and I'll be straight.
How crazy was that COVID year? Because just trying to cover it and follow you guys was crazy enough for me.
COVID was 2020 was probably one of the best. No,
you love the COVID time. You didn't love
2020 COVID. Was probably one of the best years of my life. I'm like think about it. We started the season in November.
Yeah, yeah. First, it was like super late. Yeah,
we had like extended time at home, and obviously, like I was gaming and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm chilling. Like, I'm
the crib playing. Shout out, Blue Pool.
Yeah, like I'm not doing anything. School was online, so school was super easy, so you didn't have the pressure of like academics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, like and they made the schedule like a lot easier at UCLA. And everybody, you know, like UCLA too, they're so in terms of like school and stuff like that, they're always like advocating for like, oh my god, we know you guys are going through so much, whatever, whatever. We cancel finals, you guys know.
And you're like, nah.
Yeah, so nah, but yeah, COVID was – I like COVID a lot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
How was it playing with no fans?
Playing with no fans was like that too, to be honest.
Because you like – you like that?
Like, obviously, in certain games, like, you could feed off the energy of the crowd and stuff like that. But, like, I felt like, for me, just being able to play, like, going into the game – It really felt like a scrimmage. Like, you could just – I felt like I could play, like, a little bit. Like, I wasn't, like, as uptight because I knew, like, oh, shit, man. Like, ain't nobody here. It's just the team and the other team. Like, let's go out there and ball. So
– just, like, playing at the park or something, right?
Yeah, it was, like, playing at the park. It was cool.
And then I just remember that you played at Modern Day with Coach Rolo. He's retiring. What were your thoughts on that, and what did you learn from that? How did your time at Modern Day, which is a pretty significant program, especially in Southern California, but in the nation, how did that prepare you for college and eventually the pros?
Yeah, I mean, it was really just the competition every day. Like,
Who was on your team then?
I'm trying to think. It was so we had Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay.
Brew McCoy, who's at Tennessee. Nico Romijo, who's at Fresno State. Everybody. We had an O lineman who went to Army. We had a Boise State O lineman. We have a lineman that went to Bama that's now in Colorado. We have a running back at Cal Poly. We had a corner that was at Montana State. We had a safety that's now at Portland. We have another safety who's at he's also at Boise State. We had a D lineman that's now on the Cowboys.
Wow.
So it was like
Modern Day was always cheating.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, like you had players that, you know, they're going to the league, going to some D1. So the competition level just prepared you a lot for college and then even, you know, the NFL. Because now that I look back, there's a lot of players that are probably either in the league or going to the league from that school. But modern day, and then in terms of like Coach Rawlinson, obviously sad that he lost his final game. But he was like, he's probably one of the best coaches I've ever been around in terms of like that true old school, like that, like he's gonna be real hard on you, but it's gonna be love at the end of the day. Like, and it's different because, like, and I know Josh knows it too, like, it's different for guys, for players now, because I don't know if a lot of the players in high school can really deal with that. Like how it was like when I was in high school, like they're going, like it's all love at the end of the day, but you just have to understand that. Like, so, but now he was an amazing coach. Nothing but respect for him. Like one of my favorite coaches, just because he had such an impact on my high school career, and then just everybody he touched, like somebody took something away from him. So, he's an amazing coach.
And then just real quick to just to kind of end, at least for me, on a UCLA related topic, just talk about your dad and the influence that he's had on you and in your career.
Yeah, my dad taught me ball. I'm gonna be honest, and I'm not gonna say like I didn't learn things from here and there, but like I really used him like as a resource because I was like, I need like he played 13 years, he coached seven, so what, that's to a total of 20. So like a lot of the things that I learned and like how I play and just like me being able to pick up the game so quickly is just because of him. You know, obviously I'm super blessed because not a lot of people have that resource. So yeah, he taught me the game, and he still does today. You know, he watches all my games, tells me what I need to do, tells me how to take notes, how to watch film. So, I mean, he like, and obviously, I can go on and on about him too. Like, obviously, I, you know, that could say enough right there. Like, went to the same school. You know, he had some. He's touched me almost in every aspect of life, whether that's football, being a man, you know, in anything. So, yeah, like. My dad, he's my role model. He's pretty much taught me the game. And honestly, more than that, taught me how to be a man. So, yeah, I mean, am I, will I change my, on another topic, will I change my number one day? Maybe, but
What is your number right now?
37.
Oh yeah. Okay. So it's always been 37, right?
You might gotta keep it.
I might just have to for the rest.
At
I
this
mean,
point, yeah.
I've never worn a different number.
That's what I said. Yeah, if even yeah, don't
Yeah,
switch.
too late. You're too late.
No,
You're
you're
too late.
in. You're
You got
in
it,
too
yeah.
deep
You're
at
a
this
for
point.
lifer.
I mean, I was thinking about, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
Cause
you're in too
it's like,
deep.
yeah, like, okay, I'm here now, you know, make my own legacy, but you know, who knows? I mean, I've been doing it for so long. And especially because we're not gonna sit here and act like 37 is the prettiest number either.
But you,
I
it's
was trying to
cute though. It's like,
it
I was like, it's
is
one of those numbers where it's like, that's cute though. Like,
I was
It
gonna
is.
say I can't think of like a they're just off the top of my head, like a Hall of Fame number 37 or anything like that. Like, is there anyone
Like,
who
I don't think
jumps
I can.
out?
I can't even see you in like a toy number. That would
Like
it
a
wouldn't
single
look right.
digit number or something. Lester
Hayes.
He was 37.
Lester Hayes was 37. That's old. That's real old.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Yeah.
that's probably like a throwback.
Who is the most athletic person you've shared the field with or you've witnessed? Mine was Miles Jack.
Mine is Jalen Ramsey. My
Okay, I
man's
feel
a
that.
breed.
And then hardest person you had to go against. It could be college,
Like,
cause
we're talking like strictly one-on-one.
I mean, like mine personally is McCaffrey. And
Okay.
when
Yeah.
I've had to guard him man and tackle him in the run, which is like he's like that. And I like I'm not afraid to admit, like, yeah, he's like that, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna be honest. It would either have to be,
It could even be a UCLA teammate that you had to go against at practice.
it might, like, I'm talking about like strictly one-on-one, it might have to be Kyle Phillips.
Why was that? Okay. Because I've had to guard Kyle Phillips in the slot. Ooh.
Like, and I'm not like I and I've guarded Cooper Kupp.
Oh, okay. This is
I
interesting.
have probably not enough to right. really get an idea. But like, man, Kyle would do some stuff, boy. Like, yeah, because like, yeah, I would honestly, and I can say like my boy Amon-Ra St. Brown too. I can say him too.
Oh, but, for sure.
Yeah, I can say him too. But like, I didn't like the amount of reps I got against Kyle in terms of like I'm sitting there zero man, like.
Yeah, y'all would go at it.
Yeah, like we would go at it. So I want to say him. Yeah. I want to say CD. I didn't guard CD. I didn't guard Marquise. Like some of these players, I just didn't. Like I was in the game with them, but I didn't guard him. You know. So like.
Yeah, for
you. I gotta go with Kyle.
The thing with Kyle was like. Obviously, we all knew about him. I just knew about him from like covering him and like, yeah, he's a dog. Like I would see it every weekend. Like it was, you know, wasn't a surprise to me when they started talking to him in the East West Shrine Bowl and they're like, he started getting national attention and they're like, yeah, we all knew that. Like yeah, that's nothing new to us. That but game, he like blew up.
That East West Shrine game, like people don't really know, like because when
even the practice, like he was blowing up just in the practices, like you were saying.
And the one-on-one reps, like people knew, like, oh, he's a good receiver, whatever. That really was like, well, like, and I got people. There's a couple dudes on the Shrine that guarded him on the Rams, and he was, and that kid at UCLA, boy, I was like, yeah, like it, I knew that because it's crazy. We didn't tell nobody this, but I guess I can say it. Me and Kyle made a pact. We were like, bro, we're not gonna go against each other.
100%. It should be
like we just do it all the time in practice. You do you, I'm gonna do me. But he was tearing it up. He was tearing it up at the East West Shrine Bowl.
So one other question that I thought Josh was gonna ask, and we can end it on this. Who were the funniest guys on the UCLA roster? Because when he asked this question and I got answers back, like I was surprised at some of the names he said. So that has to be something I ask every time a UCLA player comes on here.
I'm like, I already know who you're gonna say probably number one is.
Give me a few
especially,
people.
Especially,
give me a few
especially
people.
For Q.
Three people. Fish for sure. Fish had me.
Denzel Fisher.
Okay.
So Denzel Fisher, Octo.
Octavia Spencer.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And then Mossy. Okay.
Well, I'm surprised you're leaving somebody off.
Who? Who did he leave off?
Martin.
That's what I said. I was like,
Martin Andrews?
Martin is one of the funniest
people. See, said that, and I did not believe it. It's just because we, you know, when he talks to the media, like we don't get a lot of that. He's been hurt, but like I'm just like, where is like, and we had a chance to talk to him before he got hurt, and I didn't get to ask him. I'm like, everyone tells me you're so funny. Like I just want to know. Like
Martin is funny, bro. I was more so like I would if you were saying like. See, when I thought you were asking that question, I thought you were talking about like he'll make everybody laugh. Which is still Martin, or because like Martin can make the whole team laugh, bro.
That's classic.
Martin was so funny. Like I'll be honest, in 2017, there were a lot of funny people on that team. You can say Boss.
Yeah,
Boss was
the one.
Balls up there.
You could say
like I'm saying you're naming DBs like
you could say JTN, like
you say Jaleel Wadu.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could say a fun like even bro, I'm gonna be honest, Kenny wasn't funny, but it was funny to laugh at Kenny, to be honest. Like stuff like that. No,
and I feel bad. That's my dog, but a lot of time
who Kenny Young?
Yes, he thought people were laughing with him, but a lot of times people are laughing at him just because the culture difference, like he was the only, like one of the only guys from the South, like from the South. Like we had guys from Texas, but we didn't really have that many people from Florida or like Georgia or Mississippi. Like, so he kind of was the only person being from Louisiana, was the only like country boy on the team kind of, I feel like. So a lot of times, like it's jokes and it's like, Kenny, we don't know what you're saying. But we're laughing because it's funny. But yeah, we're not laughing with you. We're laughing at you.
Yeah, bro.
That's classic. Yeah, I was glad you said Martin because when Josh told me that, I was like, there's no way. And then I think, and then though Kenny said the same thing. And I'm like, man, I feel like I missed out on Martin. just being able to talk to him and like and just really get a sense of who he is, because I feel like he's always so reserved.
But I mean, to the media, he's not. You're not gonna.
Well, I mean, we didn't get a whole lot of chances to talk to him because he's like he's. So
I'm
we
saying
never,
even the media, he's gonna try to be like professional and you know, like
that's crazy. That's funny.
You're not the funny Martin from the media too.
Yeah, no, I figured. But that's why I'm glad y'all said that. Like,
to be honest, Caleb was funny too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
C Will was
okay, Wilson, yeah.
Theo,
like the even Theo, Theo's like I feel like our team. We just had like he was saying, like we could if we had a reunion tomorrow and we all showed up, like we would be laughing like the whole time.
Laughing,
it's just like that's just how everybody was. Like everybody there, I would say there was kind of like groups and cliques, kind of a little bit, just so based on like ages and like
who you dorm with and all that stuff too. Yeah,
but there's a lot of times where everybody met in the middle of whatever locker room we were in, and it just turns into like just whatever's going on. It's just jokes. It's just funny. It's just like rap battles. It's dance battles. Oh, it's like so many different things.
Fuck, the locker room, something happening. Bro.
Who's rapping in the locker room?
Every DB thinks they're a rapper.
Q,
not really. Q or no? Oh, okay.
I see me do that. Now you like I had to realize like maybe I can rap too. I can't do that. I don't have it in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Stringing words together and being off the fly like that. Nah, couldn't be me.
I'm just gonna say like I'm just proud of Q, and like I'm saying it's just so awesome to see. Like people are asking like who's your favorite team in NFL? Cause like me right now, because I'm playing in Canada, like of course I'm watching NFL great stuff. And people still ask me, like, oh, like, you know, like what team you want to go to, or what's your favorite team? And I was like, I've been saying this since I was like young in college, like I don't have a favorite team. Like, I just like watching my bros ball. Like, it don't matter. Like, it could be, I'm saying, like, I'm watching Chris. I'm watching, like, Q. I'm watching, I mean, Anthony Barr, who I didn't get to play with. But, like, I just love watching, like, my Bruin brothers, like, ball. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, Q being at that level now, like, I hope my path doubles back and I cross over, you know, and I get to play with you again one day. But, I mean, I'm just, like, so proud of you, bro, and just, like, so happy for you, and it's awesome to see like the growth and just like who you just he's becoming like more and more, and like, you know what I'm saying, like out of his shell, and it's like it's just dope to see, because I watched the whole you're not in your final form yet, but it's just like you just keep transforming and keep getting look at his hair right now. He wasn't doing that before. Like, I remember when he had the short, like, almost military cut for modern day. And, like, look
at when he first, kind of like Theo, what's up with the freshmen? They kind of come in, they always come in with some little cut or something. Because you were talking about Theo being bald.
Oh, because, Theo came in with a baldy. I just think, feel like, a lot of people come in thinking, like, you need to be, like, real professional and real, like, you know, like, you know, me personally. Even me, like, I got cut. I had, like, colorful mohawks in high school. I cut one off right before I got to UCLA.
Yeah, because it's, like, the kid stuff is kind of over. Like, it's serious. Like, yeah, I feel that.
Professional, that stuff.
Yeah. I feel that.
And realize I can be myself.
I feel that. All right, man. We'll let you go. It's been nice talking to you, Q. Hopefully not the last time we talk to you. You're welcome back on this podcast anytime. It's been funny, and just seeing you smile and have a good time catching up with Josh. That's all we can ask for here on this podcast is good times and good memories. And again, thank
you guys so much. This is awesome. This is awesome.
My dog.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.